Raise your hands and thank God for it then. Thank God. Tell him you want more and more and more and more. Everything he has for you, you want it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I didn't know what song they were going to sing. They didn't know what I was going to speak. But the title of this message is Believe There Is More For You. It's part two of the Pressing On series that I started last week. Of course, our scripture that we're reading here is Philippians 3, starting with verse 12. Philippians 3, starting with verse 12. Either find it on your device or in your regular Bible. I see some of you getting it in both. Amen. I always watch the front row. When the front row is, when I see that they're ready, then I go. All right, here we go. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehending, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here we see Paul stating that he hadn't attained, or he hadn't had it. He's not got it made yet. You know, that might be a statement that we would say. And he still believed that God had more for him. Even though with all the accomplishments that he had, he still believed God had more for him. So he declared that he was pressing on or pursuing all that God had for him. He says here, I press. Press means you're putting out some effort. Hello, you there? Yeah. See, you're not going to press on into something if you don't believe that there's something, that there's a reason to press on. And see, he's saying here that he's pressing on because he believes that God has more for him than he has attained so far. You know, it seems that a lot of people seem to be satisfied with where they're at. Just satisfied with the status quo. They're not pressing to receive anymore. They're just sitting down. And thank God for what you need to thank God for what you have. But realize that God has more. That's just not all there is. Did you ever realize the people that's complaining about not having enough, and because their life never changes, you can see that they're just standing still. They're not pressing on. They're not doing anything to press on to receive anymore. You got to believe that there's more for you before you're going to go after it. Come on. See? We need to lift our eyes and begin to believe there is much more, much more, much more, much more, much more, much more, much more that God has for us. And you just keep saying it much more because it just keeps going. The more you receive, the more there is. The more you receive, the more there is. You just keep going. You can't ever exhaust God's supply for you. See, many people get into the mode of thinking, well, hey, man, this is pretty good, and everything looking good, and so forth and so on. So, maybe this is all there is. See, you can't ever get to the place that you think that this is all there is. You got to keep reading the word and keep receiving because there's always more. Avoid the attitude of this is good enough. This is good enough. Never settle for second place. You know, everybody laughs at me, but that's the way I've always been all my life is the fact that second place is all right, but that's not good enough. Hello? You know, nobody remembers who got second anyway. There are very few people, without looking it up, can tell you who won the, besides the winner of the 100 meters at the past Olympics that we had. Most of you can tell me who that was, but you'd have to look it up to see who come in second. Right? Because everybody remembers that. So then, as far as I'm concerned, if you're not first, you're last. They laugh at me. One time I was playing in the basketball league over here at the NRC. We had a staff team, some of the pastors and some of the staff, and we got second place, and they give me the trophy, and I turned it around and handed it to one of my grandsons. Said, "Here, you can have this trophy. Take it home." My wife will tell you, I got a lot of trophies, but I don't have any, most of the time, I don't have any second place trophies sitting around anywhere. Because, now in life, you need not to just settle for good enough or barely get along. You need to keep pressing on. If you're in sales and you reach the $1 million club, then go to the $2 million club. Come on. Because there's always more. With God, there's always more. Thank God for all that He's done for you. But He wants us to get all the promises that He has for us. He wants us to get it. He said He wants to give us life and give it more abundantly. You know, if you believe there is more, you'll keep going. If you don't believe there's more, you'll just sit down and stay where you're at. You know, why do athletes, even though they've won the championship, they continue to press and work hard? They continue to hone their skill because they realize that that's just one step. There's more out there. Hello? You know, there's John Paul Ray over there, one who grew up here in the church, Bill's son. He's going to college on a golf scholarship. And just because he got the golf scholarship, I guarantee you that he just don't say, "Okay, I got the scholarship." I guarantee you every day he's out there swinging a club. And I see him shaking his head. Yeah, he's out there swinging a club. Why? Because it's great that he got the scholarship. It's great that he's having fun playing on a golf team, but he realizes if there's more than that. So he goes out there and swings that club. See, we got to, hey, thank God for all He's done for us. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for our Holy Spirit. Thank God for healing. Thank God for all the financial blessings that He's given us. But there's more. We need to keep getting in the Word every day, studying in the Word, realizing that God has more for us. Be thankful for what He's done, but that's not the end. See, the Israelites had to believe there was more for them in the promised land and that they could have it before they could get there. They believed that right up until they got to the door to go over in the promised land. They believed. That's why they left Egypt. They traveled all the way through there. They got over there. Now the 12 spies come back. And 10 of them come back as a report, "We can't do it." They started believing what the 10 said, and they didn't press on, except Caleb and Joshua, because they said, "We can do it." And God said, "Okay, you're going to get to go in." They got to go in because they knew they could press on and that they could win. See, you got to realize that what you hear, what you see has an effect on how you believe. Come on. Who you hang around with has an effect on what you believe. You hang around with a bunch of doubters and pouters, and before you know it, you're going to be a doubter and a pouter. But you hang around with a bunch of people that believe what God said and talk about how big God is and not how big their problem is, you'll find out that you'll start talking about how big God is. See, you know, you continue to believe what you see, hear, study. Hello. So if you continue to read the word and you see that God still has more for you, you'll keep pressing in. If you don't, you'll stop. You've got to realize that God has an abundant supply. Or as they were singing, more. There's more. See, now, we have to believe that God wants us to have more. We got to believe that we can enter into more and more and more of his abundance. I mean, we just a few scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Of course, that was Psalms 23:1, the first, and that when I just read is Psalms 37:3-4. Now, Matthew 6:33, we all know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Read what was up above verse 33. It was food and clothes and all that kind of stuff, the material things that you need. He said, seek God first and you'll get all that. There's more. There is more. There is more. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has more than you've ever got yet. John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's the NIV version. The other says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But I like the NIV. It says, to the full. I mean full. A full life. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Now, rich there is not how we think about something. Rich means an abundant supply is what rich means. An abundant supply. Ephesians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. 1 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I like the way the NLT says it. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you, that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. You know, my grandma, my mom's mom, grandma was she was just a large lady. I mean, she stood 5'11" tall. Now, she wasn't what you would call heavy. She was just, you know, a bigger person. And in fact, they used to come by the farm and they'd say to my grandpa, they'd say, Rebel, is Savannah going to pick today? And you're picking cotton. And, yeah, well, I'm going to go pick down there. Because she would pick 600 pounds of cotton a day herself. And the guys didn't like it because she would always beat them. And Grandma, she liked to cook for all of us. Now, when you went to her table, there would be at least two meats there, sometimes three. And Grandma, I mean, she put the food on the table. And she wanted you to eat it, too. I see Candy there, my niece. She's shaking her head. She remembers Grandma. Yeah, you know, she'd probably have some fried chicken. maybe a roast, sometimes some ham. You know, she'd have something. When I was growing up there on the farm, she even did this later on, maybe not as much. And then she'd have, I mean, it'd be potatoes, mashed potatoes and corn and beans and sometimes some kind of green. It'd be four or five different vegetables. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all might have had grandmas done the same thing. And then she always had them big old biscuits, about that thick, about that big around, you know, she made herself, you know. And so if a dish started getting empty and somebody started just taking a little bit, she said, go ahead, take it all. There's more where that came from. See, that's the way God is. Go ahead and take it all because there's more where that came from. He never runs out. He never runs out of anything. See, we need to realize he has more of everything that we need in the spiritual and the natural world to give us the abundance. He told us that he wanted us to have an abundant life. You go back in the Old Testament, and I want you to notice it says in Galatians that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Who? The children of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:7 and 29. We are the children of Abraham. The blessing might come on us. What was the blessing? Spiritually, physically, and financially. Go study Abraham. Yeah. And that, see, there's more. There's more. You need to realize that. Even if you lose all the material things, if you still hold on to your spirit of faith and believe in God's word, faith, and your authority as a believer, you can get it all back. And more. Thank you. I like it when I get help preaching. Because, see, I don't think everything. You know, now, when people get into a situation such as that, and everything's gone wrong, and they seem like they've losing everything, losing marriage, losing family, losing all of their material things, and they, if they're not careful, they start to blame God. In fact, Dad wrote a book. There's a fellow out there by the name of Kenneth Hagin, same as my name. He wrote a little book called Don't Blame God. We need to realize it's not God that's causing that. It's the devil. It's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Paul says so. So don't blame God. Somebody doesn't get healed and a loved one goes home or something. They start blaming God. It ain't God that steals and kills. It's the devil that steals, kills, and destroys. God has given us life. Sometimes we don't understand it. That doesn't mean they're not saved. They didn't go to heaven. We just don't understand what's going on. But I'm not going to start blaming God. I'm blaming who is responsible for it all. See, if you lose your earthly things, don't get upset. Just turn around and say, another chance to prove God still has more than where that come from. Remember in Job, now people don't like Job, but Job, in Job, he lost everything. And everybody wants to say, oh, poor old Job, I'm just like Job. No, you're not. Unless you got more in the end than you had in the beginning. Because it says at the end of the book, it says he got back all that he lost plus more. See, that's why when you know how to trust God and know about his more, that he has more, then you get back all you lost plus. Hallelujah. Anybody excited? See, if you're going to get more, you got to believe that God has more. You got to believe that God has more for you. You know, look at old Peter here in Luke 5:3. It says that Jesus got in one of the Simon Peter's boat, and he told him, put him a little out from the land so he could sit down and teach the people. The reason he did that is the multitude was pushing him into the water. He didn't have he couldn't go no further, so he got in the boat. And so now he taught the people, and then he told Peter, he said, okay, launch out there and let your net down for a catch. Peter said, well, we fished all night. We didn't get nothing. But you see, whenever he realized there was more, Peter tapped into it. How did Peter tap into the more? By doing what Jesus said. How do we tap into the more? By doing what he said right here in his word. Because they believe. Now, hey, this guy is a teacher. He's not a fisherman. Those guys are fishermen. That was their livelihood. That's what they did. That was their employment, we would say. And they fished all night and caught nothing. Probably, they more than likely had all of their fishing nets and all everything all put up and cleaned and ready to go out the next night to fish. And now he's telling them they fish at night. Now he's telling them to go out in the middle of the day when it's not a good time to fish and let their nets down. You see, we've got to get to the point where we believe there's more and we do what God says even when it's not the right timing seemingly. Hello. You know, it's hunting season. These guys are getting up early, going out there, sitting in their deer stands, you know. But they're not out there hunting in the middle of the day. Now they go back out in the early evening because that's when the deer get up and move around. The fishermen go out early in the morning and fish. You don't catch much fish in the middle of the day. In the evening and in the morning. Is that not correct, you fishermen? Isn't that correct? I'm not a fisherman or a hunter, but I can read about it and I hear all these guys talking about it. Now, I'm not opposed to it, but I just don't want to get up. I just don't want to get up that early and go out there and sit. And but now... Now here, I want to show y'all something here. But I'm willing to go out there with Cameron and at a race when it's cold and whenever they race till 1 o'clock in the morning. Hello. But see, some of y'all are not. Because that's what I enjoy. If that's what you enjoy, you're willing to go out there and do it. Because you say, hey, there's more. I got a deer today, but there's more to get because I got more tags. Amen. Hello. See, you're gonna get up and do whatever you're gonna do whatever you really want to do and you believe in. If you really believe the word of God and really want the more, you're going to do what it tells you to do right here in this word of God, right here, what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. It didn't even say you're going to have to use your faith to get them. It said they'd be given unto you. Come on. Now, let's look at Peter here for a minute. Let's look at something. Let's see how he was able to tap into the bigger blessing. A blessing that came, that filled up, not only filled up his boat, but filled up his partner's boat too. That's how much fish they caught. See, there's the more blessing. See, he got enough fish that he couldn't hold no more of them in his boat. That's what the Bible said. Then he called for his partner to come out there. They fill that boat up too. See, he not only got here, but now he got more. Anybody see that? Now, how this? Okay, here's how he tapped in. He heard what God said, or what Jesus said. He heard. We've got to hear the promises of God for our situation. So, when you're in a situation, go find the promises of God that deal with what you're dealing with. If it's protection, find a scripture on protection. If it's healing, find scripture on healing. If it's financial, find scripture on financial. They're all there. Now, he heard. Secondly, he believed what he said. We have to believe the word of God. We have to believe that every promise in here, we sing the song, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, every promise in the book is mine. What? All the blessings of his love divine. That's my local song person there. She knows them all. I don't. But hey, we'll sing that, but do we really believe it? Come on now. Every chapter, every verse, every line. How many ever sung that song? A lot of you have. How many have never heard it before? A lot of you haven't. Well, it's a song I used to sing back, I don't know how long ago, a long time ago. But it came down through the time. But when we sing that, are we really believing it? Or are we just saying some words? See, here's what it comes back to. We can hear the word of God by reading it ourselves or hearing somebody preach about it. Okay? And we can say we believe that. But do we really? Because if we really believe, then the next thing we do is to declare. Peter declared. He said, nevertheless, I will let down my nets. Even after he said, I fished all night, didn't catch nothing, and Jesus said, let your net down. He said, nevertheless, okay, if that's what you say. See, we got to declare that we will take God at his word and do what he says. And then he pressed on. He pressed out into the deep water. See, he was in the shallow right there by the edge. I guess he let Jesus out of the boat. I don't know. It doesn't say whether he let Jesus out of the boat or not. Doesn't know whether he went out there with him. But it said that launch out into the deep. He told him, go on out there. You don't care, except for a certain time kind of fish. But the big fish, you don't catch them too most of the time up close to the bank. You go out in the deep water. You know, if you want to catch one of the big old catfish, you got to get down there in the deep water, because that's where they're going to be down there. Hello? They're on the bottom. Yeah. Now, he went out in the deep. He did it. He pressed. See, we've got to press forward to get the promises of the abundance of God. How many of you are just going to stay where you are? You're going to press on. Why are you going to press on? What? There's more. And because we know that there is more, we're not going to stop and sit down. Now, we're going to come into hardships and we're going to have troubles, but we don't set up camp there. He said, in the word said, I walk through the valley. I don't set up camp in the valley. I walk through it, knowing that on the other side is joy and peace and happiness. There is more. Say it, there is more. There is more with God than I've ever gotten yet. I'm going to press on into the blessings of God in the Word so that they can become a reality in my life. I'm not satisfied with what I have now. I thank God for it. I give glory for it. But there's more. And I want the more. And I'm going to press on. And I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to declare that I have the more. I have the more. Stand up and thank God because you have the more. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that we haven't reached the end. There's more to come. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? I never liked a minister that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, accept him as the Lord of their life, or to rededicate their life, because sometimes people, they've accepted Christ, but then through circumstances and so forth, they're just not where they need to be with God, and they need to come and rededicate. Are there some people that they go to church, been going to church ever since they're a kid, but they don't know whether they ever accepted Christ or not? If that's you, on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you right now. But I don't know who you are unless you signify it. So would you just raise your hand? You need Christ. You need a no-so experience. You need to rededicate your life. I want to pray with you right now. Anybody, anywhere in this auditorium, upstairs, downstairs, thank you, Father, right now. Anybody want to raise their hand? You want to accept Jesus right now. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands today. But if there be one person under the sound of my voice, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's dark over there. I couldn't see you over there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to join this one? Hallelujah. Listen, if you wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand. I want you, or raised your hand. I want you to step out and come down here to the front right now. I want to pray with you like I said I would, so come on right now. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on. You raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand. Just come right here.
Jesus is waiting with open arms.
Come right here, young lady.
So come.
God bless you. God bless you, man. Just stand right here for a minute. Come on, anybody else want to come? If you're in the balcony, you want to come, the ushers will get you down here. Come on. We got two. Come on. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. If you want, don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody. They'll walk down here with you. Just come on right now. I'm going to wait just a moment. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Now is the time, right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. I'm going to pray with you here. Then I'm going to ask you to go to a special place where you can pray, be prayed with individually and in depth. Oh, here comes some more right now. Praise the Lord. I got too quick. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Like I was saying, I'm going to pray with you right here, but then I'm going to ask you to go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. You know, we call it prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a few classes that helps you to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is, just a few classes. And I'd like to see you in there next Sunday morning. Congregation, would you reach your hand toward them as I pray here? Would y'all raise one hand toward heaven, that hand saying, I'm reaching up to get what I come for. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for each one of these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, salvation, rededication. Father, I thank you. I know so experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Put your hand down and look at me. Just see Mr. Roger right over there. Would y'all turn and follow him to that place right now where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hey, remember all the announcements tonight, 6 o'clock right here. But guys, you can start signing up for the men's conference. Remember, you can sign up for to help ladies, to help us serve lunch for us on Friday. And remember the We Care Center. We need food, okay? Now, you can bring food all the time, but we haven't have a special drive because the shelves got empty and we didn't have any food for people. So that's why we're having this special drive. But there's always containers in the lobbies to put food in. You can bring it anytime. Don't forget the candy for the Harvest Carnival. Don't forget we need volunteers to help at the Harvest Carnival. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, if you happen to be a first-time guest with us, our connection team, where's my connection team at? I need my connection team to come and get all of my first-time guests and take them to that place where we have a special gift for them. Well, the connection team, would you come and find our first-time guests and take them right now? Nobody else move unless you absolutely have to. We're so glad you came to be with us today. Thank you for coming. Staff, you can go to the door so we'll be ready to shake your hand. There'll be a sign. There it is. It's on the screen where we're going to be if you want to see any one of us. That's where we're at. I'm at the east door today. We try to rotate around to all the doors. We got 4 lobbies. We try to rotate around so that each pastor gets to go to each door because, you know, you got a lot of people go out this door all the time. A lot of people go out that door. A lot of people that door. A lot of people that door. So if I don't go to each one of the doors, some of you I don't ever see. So that's why I try to rotate all the pastors around. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. And I will be concluding the third lesson that I've been doing on overcoming fear. And I'll be doing the third lesson this Wednesday night on overcoming fear. Any of our lessons that we teach here, you can go on to rhema.org and you can go to the archives and find our media and find all of those. You can all go find all of those if you miss some of them, okay? Hey, we sing a chorus around here to let everybody, let me get down here, especially down that aisle. Right over there, I'm going down that aisle, and I'll be going down it fast. So I got, because I have to run to beat y'all out the door over there. They'll dismiss you. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Be here.
Your love never fails. It never